Jamal Wilkes has joined us on Sports Byline. They called him Silk. We'll find out how he got that name. And again, I want to urge you, I want to personally recommend this book, Jamal Wilkes, Memoirs of the Original Smooth as Silk. I mentioned before the break about you going to UCLA. What was the first time, or when was the first time you met John Wooden? And what did you know about him before you met him?
The first time I actually met him was when he came to close the deal. Denny Crum, right, Hall of Fame coach at Louisville, had been his right-hand assistant, and he actually recruited me out of high school. And there's a story that Denny encouraged Coach to come see me and play as a junior, and Coach didn't like the recruiting process. He didn't like taking time away from his family to come watch players, and I guess I really stunk. I had a horrible game. And Coach Wooden really gave Denny the business about why did he talk him into going there. And anyway, Coach Crum convinced him to come see me again. And I really impressed Coach Wooden. And so I'm grateful to Denny, Coach Crum, for believing in me. But I didn't meet Coach Wooden. I met him briefly on a recruiting trip to UCLA. I went by his office, but I only met him for like 3 minutes because I was with the upperclassmen who were showing me around, and that was the focus of the weekend. But when he came to my home, took my mother and brother and I out to dinner, and he was one of the few coaches that didn't promise me anything except a good education and an opportunity to play. And he was so understated and humble. It was like unbelievable. You know, I kept pinching myself. I kept, you know, Coach John Wooden, NC2A championships. I kept expecting this. I don't know what I expected, but I expected more than what I got or what I thought I got until I got to know him and really understand and appreciate the depth and the sincerity and the beauty of this man. Forget a brilliant basketball coach. He was a much far better person. But that was the first time I really remember visiting with him, and he talked about his family. He was just so straightforward, so simple, no frills. And I'll never forget that. But it was a wonderful moment.
Yeah, one thing I will also tell you is that I always sensed, as I got to know you after I met you, I thought to myself, I know why these two people liked each other, because of what you just said about him. There was no frivolity to him. He was a very straightforward, low-key type of guy. But that's what the way you are, Jamal, as well. And I could see where he could see how you could fit into the team chemistry aspect, because that's what he was oriented toward more than anything else. And that's the way you were as well. Am I right?
Yeah, I was. And I give a lot of credit to my dad for his molding me and his influence, because I can see how I was a natural fit for him as well when I reflect on my dad and, you know, his very traditional, solid the earth kind of person, wasn't really interested in money, was just interested in people, helping people. And that's how Coach Wooden was. So I was very comfortable in that setting. But, Ron, you know, I thought I was a good basketball player, but you never know if you're good enough. And so I really went in there with a sense of urgency because I knew it was a great opportunity, but I also knew there were 100 other All-Americans waiting to take my place. So as I talk about in my book, which is available on Amazon, I did everything with a sense of urgency. I truly respected the man, and he was not your friend while you were an underclassman, while you were playing for him. We didn't have much contact with him away from the basketball court.
Because freshmen were not eligible at that time.
That's true. And just the media intensity, you know, he was already an icon. We knew this man was going to be revered beyond basketball. We just didn't know how. But he was well on his way to becoming an icon. And so I knew it was a privilege to be there and play for Coach Wooden.
One of my favorite memories of him, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going on memory here, and that is, I believe that first championship you won, it was against Jacksonville State, and it was at Los Angeles, right?
It was against Florida State.
Well, I meant the game against Jacksonville State. Was that in Was that played in Los Angeles?
In the Coliseum, in Los Angeles. Okay. That's right. Yes, that's great memory.
And after the game was over with, I happened to run into Coach in the hallway, and I went up to ask him a question. Now, I'm a very young sportscaster at that time, but I wasn't intimidated, and I said to him, I said, Coach, well, what about this game? And I'll never forget, he looked me in the eye, and he asked my name, and I told him, he said, Ronnie, he says, you know, turnovers in basketball are like walks in baseball. They'll kill you every time. He was that type of detailed guy.
Oh.
And he was a teacher. That was the strength of, I think, his foundation of being so successful.
I agree with you. He was such a detail. The first day of practice, Ron, he would literally sit down in front of us and show us how to put our socks on so there were no wrinkles in them, and how to lace up our shoes so they were snug and you wouldn't get blisters. And then he would show us how to take it off. And you know, that was fine our sophomore year because freshmen weren't eligible. But going into the junior and senior year, you know, the upperclassmen are wondering, is he going to do this again? And he would. And it would be like it was the first time you heard it every time. He was such a stickler for detail. He has a phenomenal memory. I mean, you know, he would remember things. We used to go by and see him two or three times a year when he was still alive. And he would remember things that we didn't remember.
He was amazing. When I'd interview him, and he was well into his 90s at that particular time, his books, he could quote from all of his books. It was amazing. Let me ask you about UCLA on from two different perspectives, and I want to just spend a little bit of time because I want to get into your pro career as well. But, you know, basketball at UCLA, dominating period, the 88-game winning streak. What was the cohesion? What was it that allowed UCLA to be so dominant during that period of time?
Yeah, you know, Ryan, I've reflected on that a lot, and as I talk about in my book, which is available on Amazon, my best answer is Coach Wooden created a bubble.
He didn't let young players talk to the media. I know that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he controlled the bubble. So he would show us how to put our shoes and socks on. He would go through his pyramid of success, which is just a marvelous philosophy. And he limited access to the media, which most of us held to. I mean, we didn't, you know, a lot of the media was trying to get us away from Coach, but we didn't go there. And he just, his practices were not unusually long, but they were extremely competitive, extremely intense, and very well organized. And we'd have a minute water break and just keep moving. And I never heard him curse in 3 years of playing for him. And since then, you know, years and years since then, I've never heard him swear. I've never heard anyone that's heard him swear. But he could say, goodness gracious sakes alive. And depending on how his intonation was, I mean, you knew if you were in deep trouble or if he was really upset or you were in the doghouse or what. But that was his thing. Goodness gracious sakes alive. And but he believed in repetition. If you talk to someone that played on his teams in the 60s and you go through practice, it was basically the same practice. He was just a basketball genius.
How did he feel about the 88-game winning streak?
He never talked about it. He never made a big deal about it. We would talk about it some amongst ourselves, but because Coach Wooden set the tone, we just never got distracted with it. But his philosophy was, you know, don't get too high from what you read in the media and don't get too low when they criticize you. In the media, because you're not really that good and you're not really that bad. But, I never mentioned the 88 game win. I never asked him how he felt about mm-hmm. it. It's funny. But I do know he was more interested in winning championships. And he would often, you know, a loss or two during the season he thought could be a good thing because then you didn't get too full of yourself and complacent and would be ready for the playoffs. But I never talked to him about the 80-game winning streak. He never made a big deal about it. But the players, it was an incredible feeling. I mean, we knew we were not invincible, but it was an invincible-like feeling. The thought of losing just never entered our mind. It just wasn't part of our mindset. And, you know, part of that was Coach. We knew we were in superior condition. We knew we got the best techniques, and we believed Coach wouldn't. But it was just that winning just began to feed on itself.
Yeah.
And it was just really very surrealistic. It almost didn't feel real. It just fed on itself, and we loved it. Oh, man, did we enjoy it.
Well, I tell you, there's another aspect of you being at UCLA I want to talk about after the break. And when we come back after the break as well, we're going to talk about Jamal Wilkes' professional career. He won 4 NBA championships after being drafted in the first round by the Golden State Warriors. He won one as a rookie with the Warriors and also 3 with the Lakers. That was 80, 82, and 85. And an injury kept him out of the 1984 NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics. And really, a lot of people believe that his absence being a key factor in the Lakers' 7-game series loss to them. We'll talk to him about that as we continue on Sports Byline.